de volta.
We got it going?
Yep.
It is 4:47 p.m. Tuesday, April 12th. And this is the Public Works Public Safety Committee meeting. Do we have any public comment? Nobody here for public comment? We're going to go on. You know, I wonder if we shouldn't take their letter, the Public Works Committee, before we, so they don't have to sit through all of this. Do you mind that, Chief?
No, by
you might be involved in this, so.
Certainly.
I received a letter from Karen Carlson, who's sitting over to my right in the back there, from Divine Home Care, asking if we could do something about their parking at 322 Second Street Southwest. You know where that's at, Sean?
Yep.
Did you get the same letter too, or?
Just today.
Okay.
For a summary of it, yes.
Okay. Anyway, they've been parking in the Heritage Bank parking lot, and they were told by Heritage Bank the other day that there is going to be some construction going on there. They can no longer park there. And they have 17 to 18 people that work not at the facility, but they check in and out of there. And they also have training there with up to anywhere from 2 to 12 people from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on certain days. They're wondering if we could eliminate parking signs on that street or accommodate them somehow for parking for their people. And it's a public street, so we did discuss earlier about maybe them asking if they could rent space at the U.S. Bank. It's probably the only place that would lease them some, because it is not, that parking lot isn't full all the time. But I'll turn it over to you, Sean. What are your thoughts and pros, cons, and what can we do or can't do?
Sure, Mr. Chair. In looking at, obviously quickly glancing at this and then comparing it with what we did with the hospital, or more pointedly haven't done with the hospital. The hospital has asked over the years to do much of the same thing, eliminate the two-hour parking in front of the hospital on Becker. And we've continually said no for the couple reasons. It is considered central business district, which only allows 2 hour per ordinance. And the other thing is, by removing signs, it allows anybody to park there. Not just, we can't designate public street for parking. So those would be my initial two thoughts, and it's not what you wanted to hear. I understand that. But in looking at the property, yes, U.S. Bank would be a potential option to talk to about using, borrowing, leasing, whatever that term ends up being. Did Heritage Bank, and you don't have to tell me, but does Heritage Bank say you can never park here again?
No.
Or temporary while it's construction?
Temporary during construction.
Okay.
Which is kind of how I had initially written the letter. Just
yep.
If we could get an accommodation, just because one, they have plenty of space for us.
Sure.
They've never complained. They actually have been very, very generous.
Sure.
Letting us park, especially on Tuesdays when we have training.
Yeah.
They've been very nice. And so they just came and gave us a heads up. We're going to start construction. When they started tearing down Persopolis building, cones went up, and
yep.
They lost most of their own parking for a while there, and I think that's going to kind of come and go
yep.
over time. So
yeah, because they want to keep their
yeah.
cars and people safe,
yes.
And
yes.
you know, don't want to, I would imagine, not want the additional liability of having someone else parked there as well as their own people. So
yep. Yep.
That being said, and I'm sorry, I got to kind of talk both directions here, but
that's okay.
So this would be this is your building,
yep.
right?
Yep.
U.S. Bank, as mentioned, is just thinking out loud here, a couple options. U.S. Bank, I did some search on ownership, and all of these, all the way out to Litchfield, parking spots, and I don't know if they're always as full as this picture shows or not.
Yeah, they're always full.
Okay, are owned by CVS.
Yep.
I don't know if that would be a possibility to talk. And then all this parking lot right here is owned by
CD&T.
Yeah, CD&T. I don't know if that would be a possibility. Outside of that, it gets a little less convenient, but there's, you know, always area over here. This intersection crossing is a little interesting sometimes, but that might be a possibility.
Isn't that?
And then this, of course, the hospital one is usually full, officially owned by the city of Wilmer, but I don't know if that would be a possibility to talk as well. And I don't know if any of those conversations have happened or not happened.
We haven't talked to Rice because it's usually full.
Yeah.
And of course, we need the same 9 to 5 hours.
Sure.
That they would. Youth for Christ said they're okay with it, but part of that is owned by Mills up there in that corner.
I think about where this tree line is, yep.
So we could, if we want to walk across that, yeah, that crazy intersection.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be ideal to walk into here, which then you're going around the construction site, I understand that. And then this, of course, is all Mills. And I don't know how they are to deal with, I've never talked to them. I know purchasing stuff from them is quite interesting.
I think we did try to contact someone and got a no.
Okay.
On the Mills lot.
Even for temporary, or I don't know, okay.
Yeah, they, I don't think they wanted to talk.
Sure.
So.
That.
And for those of us that are there all day, it really, it's not an issue, you know, we can even use the Nelson dry clean, the 10-hour lot. And it's just, these poor visit nurses coming and going, and there's like 5 and 6 of them that.
Right.
And if they get stuck there for over 2 hours, then they get a ticket, so.
Sure. Well, and that's.
That's the hard part.
And that's exactly the conversation we've had with the hospital, you know, and, because they've got specifically, you know, you got chemo patients or cancer patients that come in, and they're there typically more than 2 hours, and sometimes they do get a ticket, and that's, we've offered them a couple of different options as far as, you know, maybe they can, we've offered to try to work with them on a validation process or something along those lines.
And that, we'd be open to any suggestions at this point.
Okay.
And, you know, we're just really looking at our options.
Yep. I would say that the best would be to work it out with one of the other neighbors. In the meantime, the chief and I can talk about the potential for some validation, you know, get some more specific numbers from you maybe, and days and times and things of that nature. So, I mean, yeah, it's a $5 ticket, I understand, that's not, you know, outrageous, but at the same time, it's the principle of it, and so maybe we can talk about that and see what we can do for there.
That would actually be helpful, it doesn't happen that often.
Sure.
And that would even be helpful. We usually pay for our staff, I mean.
Yeah.
We take care of them, but, yeah, we could just get some help for a while, that'd be great.
Okay.
Our all-day training people, they can park in a lot because they're there for the day.
Yep.
So, I'm not so worried about them, but if there's an open spot, they'll take it.
Sure.
Too, so.
Well, and that's.
All of a sudden, our lot's full, and then the nurses come back and they have nowhere to go, so.
And that would be a little concern of mine of making it too.
You don't want to make it too easy.
The recorder is going, but making it too public about the validation process.
Got it.
You know, that type of thing, so.
Got it.
Let's continue conversations, and the chief and I can get together. We've both been, our schedules have not allowed us to get together on much of this recently, but in the meantime, if there's potential to talk to a couple of the other neighbors, maybe we'll touch base again in a little bit.
We did visit with CD&T, but I think they kind of saw a carrot.
I see.
Price was pretty high for us, so.
Okay.
How about US Bank?
But we haven't talked to US Bank yet.
Okay, that might be your next best option.
Our next partner, yep.
What about, is Warren Hagan on this?
Yeah. Is that Warren's building?
I think so.
Can't tell.
Let me look here.
You were just hovering on Wilmer GIS.
Karen, do you bank at US Bank?
Maybe open up a checking account.
Sorry to say, maybe I need to move my account.
Negotiation.
Might have some effect.
All of us that want to park there, just open up an account.
Yeah. Get your 90-day account, Jen?
Yeah.
Or 2-year.
Yeah. Chapin, whoever that is.
Chapin?
Wilmer.
The old Wilmer Electric property.
Yeah. Okay, so Warren does not own it.
That's all private though.
Lease parking, I think, in there.
Is it?
Because a lot of times it's both.
Is it, okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to look for some other options that aren't too far away.
Yeah.
Like I say, outside of the hospital, who has already asked us about undoing parking for them, so. Anyway, let's touch base again. Chief and I'll talk about some potential other options, and in the meantime, if you talk to some of the other neighbors, and we'll see what we can come up with.
Okay.
that was your main concern, the parking thing, and talk to US Bank and see what they say, and then touch base back either with me or Sean here.
Appreciate your time.
No problem. We're here to serve.
Thank you.
Okay.
Question.
Go ahead, Audrey.
Is it KMS or one of the schools uses that street to pick up and drop off?
Right, they do.
Second Street.
Right by Heritage Bank.
There will be all sorts of cars there at the times that the bus picks up and drops off.
Because there is now.
Kids all over the place. Yep.
That's like 7:30, isn't it, in the morning?
And then at night.
Yeah.
Well, but so they're within the 2 hour already.
Yeah, but.
But that's why the spots are probably taken then.
But yeah, I don't know, you know, the parking on the street during the day was, that street's usually open.
Yeah. And I think, the concern is, if the concern is for, we heard her say, if the concern is for the all day people, that isn't the concern.
No.
But I don't know exactly how they do things, but if it's a drop in, it seems like the 2 hour would be enough.
Yeah. Come and go.
So, and the thing I don't want to happen is to the chief and I talked about this, to abuse a system of validation.
Yeah.
Where we're seeing the same people all day, every day when there's, you know, spots open somewhere.
Yeah. Lots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That aren't right outside the door. I understand that, but it's somewhere in.
They're building over a block because they have across from Conrad Dutham Schweizing and Eternity, they have counseling or things that go on in that other building too, because there's
right,
parking
in,
issues over there.
In the CDS
also.
Building.
No, well, across the street from the CDS building.
Over here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Because I know that CDS, those buildings overflow.
Yeah.
They don't have enough parking spots in their lot now.
Well, I think, and I looked it up, and they own all of this back in here.
But that's usually full, too. I mean, it's...
Well, this picture even makes it look like it, yeah. But it also indicates the potential for U.S. Bank to work.
They're never full.
I think
they
that's
the...
They
are never full. Every time I drive by, there's three cars.
I think that's probably the ticket. I think I really do. Because then they don't have to go out on the street to get back to their building.
Yeah, if she opens the counter, things will be fine. Say she's at the bank.
Right.
Okay. Any other comments or questions on that? If not, we'll go on to police and fire updates. Chief Felt.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The jail census as of today was 122 inmates total, 71 from Candiota County, 43 from the Department of Corrections, one each from Lacqui-Parle, Stevens, Redwood, and Pine counties, and four from Swift County. Calls for service over the last two-week time period were 768 calls for service. Consistently at number one and two were traffic stops and public assists. This time, number three was abandoned vehicles, rounding out the top calls. So far, we've had 5,306 calls for service this year. We're 10 days ahead of last year, and 516 calls ahead in that manner. One item just for information for the council and the committee is the police department is going to be trying a program just to get to know people in the community more and for them to know the police department more. So we're going to give it a try. We're calling it Coffee with the Cops. And on Thursday, April 21st from 7:30 in the morning till 9, we're going to be at Cornerstone Coffee at the Skylark Center. I'm actually buying coffee, so if anybody wants to come and have a cup, yeah, take a picture of that. we'll have coffee there, and we're not going to have any set agenda or anything, just people come in, and if they have questions and some things like that, just a chance to talk. And our plan is we've got it set up with, I think, five or six other coffee shops in town that our plan is to at least give it a try for a year, see how it goes, and maybe continue. So maybe every other month, if it gets popular, maybe every month we'll do it. So,
cool.
And will you be advertising that somewhere? I mean,
right.
Facebook page.
We did put it on our Facebook page yesterday, and then I'm contacting the other local media this week to let them know that we figured too far ahead of time, and it would drift from people's minds. So,
I saw it on Twitter before coming here.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
See you over Twitter.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
You want me to repost it?
If you would, that'd be great.
I found on Facebook.
Okay. Super. And just for point of interest, the most often, the most popular question we're asked is it legal to drive barefoot? Of all things. And
what?
Yes, it is legal to drive barefoot in Minnesota. So.
Wow.
Yep. Followed up by, can you really pull me over if you don't have your headlights on if you're sitting in a parking lot running radar? And yes, we can. It's urban legends that we have to tromp down every
okay, so on your Facebook page, you need to have frequently asked questions.
I think so, yeah.
Answers to frequently
asked. That's right, yeah.
Go ahead, Audrey.
Seatbelt question.
Yes.
I sometimes will take my shoulder strap and put it down because it, like, the seat will rub up against there. My daughter got pulled over on the way to the cities for improper use of seatbelt, and she had taken it down and had taken her coat off.
Oh, okay.
And didn't put it back up, and she got stopped for that. And I didn't know that you, I mean, does that actually qualify as a seatbelt?
You know, I'd have to review the statute for sure. It is not wearing it as intended. You know, the only thing I can think of is if the officer didn't see the shoulder belt, which is the main indicator in new cars, if might have pulled over her over for that. But I don't think it's a ticketable offense.
Got a written warning.
Okay.
But I was just curious because I do it for safety. Mm-hmm. I feel like it if I actually slammed on the brakes, it would.
Oh,
so I'm curious
sure.
about that. Where people who have physical injuries.
Sure.
I was just curious.
Sounds like you need to go to coffee with the cops.
There you go.
I'll let him buy it.
That's right. What they recommend for that is there is a seatbelt
adjuster
that can move it farther down. But nope, that's a good question. And that's the type of thing that, you know, a lot of people have issues that, you know, they don't want to call into open mic and ask. And I'm probably fortunate they don't call into open mic and ask questions like that. But, you know, it's a good chance to go over some of those things.
That's a good idea.
There are so many laws and rules and regulations, and you can't plead ignorance anymore.
Right.
And you can't. Yeah. They can pull you over for whatever. Well, I didn't know that. Well, yeah. Big deal. So I'm glad you're doing it. That's should be interesting. Let us know. Well, I'm sure you will. How
sure.
it goes, and people show up, and some of the questions. That'd be interesting too.
You bet. And I kind of came up with the idea of it. You know, what's from an offshoot of what some other departments had done. But Sergeant Chad Nelson is the one that really grabbed onto it and ran with it and made all the connections and set everything up. So he's the worker behind this. So
super.
Credit goes to him.
Somebody likes coffee too.
he won't drink regular coffee. His has to be
doctored.
You know, it's got to taste more chocolate than coffee or something. But he said he'll be there and make it look official anyway.
Okay. Why the abandoned vehicles all of a sudden? Is that just from winter or something? Or
you know, I'm thinking it was. I was trying to go back. I quickly got these numbers right before I came, and I don't know if there happened to be a snowfall that could have dusting of snow that would have happened in that time. You know, we've had our community service officers that have been doing a lot of follow-up on abandoned vehicle complaints and going around looking for cars too. Sometimes with the street sweeper out, they can kind of we can get some indicators if something has been there for a period of time too.
Okay.
So
did Frank give you any numbers or
he did not for
okay.
me no
okay. Okay, the only thing I know, they are doing a burn this Saturday at 8 a.m. on 6th Street, just a couple blocks south of City Hall. An abandoned, a home that's been there abandoned for many, many years.
Yeah, because the home they practiced on Saturday morning wasn't much left of it by the time they got there.
Is that right? That's right.
Regency item would go up.
I don't think that was practice. It was
except for the people that were in it, I'm sure they didn't think it was practice.
That's right. Yeah, pretty well gone.
Yep.
Director update.
Okay, so we're trying something a little bit new for some of the latest policies, procedures. I'll try to update you on purchases that are made or in the process of being made and things of that nature. And so in under the heading of update is what we're going to try to do this on now until we hear otherwise. So we're in the process right now of purchasing a Polaris Ranger that will replace the John Deere Gator out of wastewater. The purchase is, it's a UTV actually, so it's got the dump box and the things that are needed for that
for that device. The amount is $13,550.89. It was previously approved in the 2016 capital program vehicle replacement schedule. There was 18.5 budgeted, so we have just shy of $4,500 left in that budget. And it was from Motorsports here in Wilmer. The we did receive two quotes on that, by the way. So, oh, and there was a trade-in value on the John Deere Gator. Is $4,500 is also reflected in that price. We're in the process also of purchasing a, for those that are taking notes, a Nuhn, N-U-H-N, 6,000 honey wagon slurry tank, also for wastewater. This is in the 2016 capital plan. It was originally in the 2015 vehicle replacement schedule, but we pushed it back. Purchase price after trade-in is $59,335. There was $90,000 budgeted. So if you add the trade-in of $16,000 on there, it was closer than that number appears. The current one was a 2001 Husky honey wagon. Quotes been received for 2016 pavement marking. Lowest quote came in from Traffic Marking Services from Maple Lake, amount of $13,318. Includes 170,000 lineal feet of yellow markings and 111,000 of white paper markings. We received three different quotes for that one. We opened bids today for the Public Works Garage roof replacement, or a portion of it. Apparent low bid, and I say apparent because we're still going through numbers, and we will be drafting contract documents for signatures in the near future, next couple days. Apparent low bid was from West Central Roofing in the amount of $86,642.86. And it was actually a 2015 CIP project with $120,000 budgeted. So everything has been under budget that we've, of these four items anyway. And that's what I have for you as far as updates go.
So we don't need resolutions in anything over $20,000? I mean,
correct.
Because of?
Well, because of new policy and new procedures in place, we're still internally working on what it's going to look like, if this is how you'll receive the information or if it'll be tweaked from this. This is kind of a first run at it, to kind of, number one, see what everybody thinks of it, how they feel like it works, and then also until we get something, like say internally, where we're all doing the same thing so that it's not random notes, and depending on which meeting you end up with. So the last one I mentioned, the bids that we opened, there probably will have to be committee and council action, because since it's a contract with a contractor, we'll probably have to authorize signatures on that one. So
okay, my understanding was anything under $20,000 was okay, but anything over $20,000, I mean, we're talking about public funds being expended that needs a resolution to pass, and a couple of those were over $20,000.
Yep, and I don't know the rules of resolution or not, but I know that as far as public funds being expended, that these were all approved already. And so I don't know if that has anything, how that plays into it, because they were approved previously, seen by the council, you know,
CIP.
In the CIP and vehicles replacement in a couple of cases. And so what that number is, how that process looks, you know.
Well, I'd like to hear what the rest of the council's, sure, the committee's interpretation was. Council first. Go ahead, Audrey.
I assume that things over, I mean, that we change the limit, that we'll still be doing things over that amount. I guess my thought was, if we're going to change it, you know, when we do the CIP, if we actually had some formal action that said, yeah, we're okay or whatever. But I thought the limit just changed, that we still are doing the same procedures for over.
In other words, a resolution.
Yeah, I thought it was anything under didn't need.
Correct. That's what I assumed also.
The same as it was before.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So then what I'm hearing, based on the four items I gave you, the Polaris at $13,000, would I not even bring that at all? to anybody, just do it and go, or, I mean...
As I recall, you wanted the information, you didn't have to bring the, you know, the specs and all that stuff to it, but anything under $20,000 is okayed by the administrator, or department heads, or... But anything over, I mean, it's formal approval, whether it's a CIP or not. That was my understanding, and I don't have the policy memorized in my brain, but I mean...
Nor do I, which is why I'm asking, but the CIP, in my mind, the CIP is kind of a formal approval process. I mean, I'm not, it just seems like you get, it seems like that you're seeing the same item 4 and 5 times, which seems, I hate to say waste of time, but it seems kind of like unnecessary if you've seen it multiple times already. It's just my
two cents. Well, the only time we see it is in the CIP, and it's a 5-year project, and we approve next year's.
Yep.
And actually, we approve the 5-year CIP plan, but...
And then the current budget, which includes this year's CIP.
Mm-hmm. But 4 and 5 times, I guess I don't see it 4 and 5 times. You know, we see it CIP, and then we bring it here right now, and it's the second time. And it's...
CIP, budget, committee, council. I mean, if everything goes smoothly. Yeah. Whatever you guys want to do, whatever.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Thanks. My interpretation was in term, I mean, that dollar amount that was put in place was going to be the new threshold of stuff that was brought for formal approval. At least that was my understanding. So everything beneath that threshold, I mean, that was a go as long as it fit within CIP funding. In other words, we don't need to see it authorize it. And at least the way that I read the wording is, even if it fit within the CIP, over that budget threshold still had to be brought for official okay. But that was my understanding. Okay. So,
well, that's three of the four so far.
That was my understanding too. It's just that we were going to be informed if it was $20,000 or less, so we knew what was going on.
So the $10,000 moved to $20,000 is basically
for emergency funds.
Sure.
Or
if
you approved something or wanted to buy something.
Yep.
We just wanted to be informed about that.
Sure.
But over that, it still had to be approved, even though it was in the budget.
Okay.
So like, just for example, okay, so it's your understanding then that, like, for example, the Polaris, in this situation, would not need formal approval by the council.
Right.
That's
no,
we've already
resolution. Needed to be informed.
Okay. Yeah.
So I could come to you in these four examples, I could come to you with a line saying we purchased this Polaris for X of dollars, you know, whatever. But the honey wagon, I should bring a car form, and I can do that still to the next one, that would state the same thing as the old way, because it was $60,000. Pavement markings, that's $13,000, so you wouldn't need to see that. But then, and I knew the bid would have to come because it was, you know, $86,000. I know that's coming because of the authorized signatures. So in this example, I could have brought you two items, the striping and the Polaris, but the other two, you guys want to see car forms for the same as we did it the old way.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the CIP plan is a plan. It's, you know, we have a budget, we have a plan for equipment replacement with my company. And when it comes up, we say, where are we at, and should we buy this thing? I mean, this isn't done automatically with nobody else knowing about it. The council needs to make a resolution to approve spending those dollars for that, whatever it be, over $20,000. Larry, you...
Well, basically we adopted what's under state statute for bidding and quotes. The council approved up to $25,000 would be the city administrator's discretion, and then anything...
20, was it a 20?
Just 25, I believe.
25.
And then anything over $25,000, like the honey wagon that's been pre-approved, that would be bought off the state bid, which is a qualified process that, you know, we can just simply buy it from. That would not require council or staff approval. Now, if something like the striping contract or something that requires approval of a bid, State law requires that anything over $100,000 has to be bid. All those construction projects, or let's say that the honey wagon was not on a cooperative purchasing program that met the state bidding requirements, and we had to bid that, then that would have to come back to council. But the state bidding process, or the association purchasing programs that we participate in, that satisfies the bidding requirements for the state. So if, like the honey wagon, you approve it in the CIP, and then after that, it's up to staff to implement and buy it.
What if we approve it for $100,000 and it comes in at $180,000? I mean, that's why we want to see these things. It's been our policy, the 10,000 limit mark was such. I mean, anything under 10, you know, you let us know, but that anything over 10, we wanted to come to the council. Because things change during the year, and our number one responsibility is watching the purse strings of the city, and this is part of that.
If I may, an example of if it's over, then you would have to see it, because then we're talking adjusting budgets or line items or changing things around, so then absolutely you'd have to see it before anything happened, if it was over.
If it's over the departmental budget.
Correct.
So I mean, if you might have a, let's say that something is like one item was 4,000 under, and then you have the honey wagon that would be 3,000 over, then that's still within the budget guideline and could be approved.
Okay. Well, I think we need to clarify that policy, and it's written somewhere. But go ahead, Audrey.
That was not my understanding. I thought we changed the limit, and otherwise it stayed the same. I don't remember reading any kind of changes about state bids and non-state bids with that, because part of what I had hoped was when we do the next year's CIP process that we have this conversation and talk about, you know, are staff committing that this is something we need in the CIP, and are we committing that this is something that we need in the CIP versus just a holding place. And so I don't remember that other part of it in that policy. I think we need to clarify the CIP policy both for staff and for us with what's in there, and is it an intent, because we've had a couple of changes with some things that we still don't know why we're not buying them this year, because they were in the CIP and now we're not going to. So I think we've got to clarify that process all the way around so that the department heads understand and we understand. But I thought all we did was just change the one limit.
The limit. I did too. I didn't know we talked about the state buying, etc. So it's my impression that, or understanding that those two items would need a resolution.
That's fine. I can bring you that back to the next one if that's what the wishes are of the council.
And that's why we want to have this conversation. Each department head has been asked to give an update, so they inform you of things going on. And then also Steve Okins will have a monthly report through finance of all the CIP purchasing, when it's purchased, when it's put in service, so you know there's no surprises for you along any of those paths. So but we want to clarify your needs.
That's fine, but I mean we need to be told about it, and maybe we need to discuss it also as a council. I mean this is new. I saw it on here. Go ahead, Audrey.
The other thing I'd like to clarify is, so if he, I appreciate the director's update. So are these things now going to be in our minutes so that they're available for the public to see and for us to see? Or are we going to get two reports? Is Steve giving us a report and we're getting a report here? Or, you know, I think the agreement was that we were going to get a monthly report, but I don't know what that means. And I think before we're all frustrated with it, we should clarify, this is fine, but then is it in the minutes so that people can see it, or are we going to get something else?
Go ahead, Larry.
Mr. Chair, yes, that was the conversation that department heads will make sure it gets in their minutes, so they each have it. And then the consolidated report would go to the finance committee, where you could see one snapshot of 2016, where we are on capital purchases for everything. So you'll actually get it to see a report at least a couple times.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's a good conversation to have now at the beginning when we're kind of changing this thing around, because, and I don't think it has to be a point of frustration. I just think we just got to make sure to get it right so that we know what it is and we're hearing the stuff that we need to hear, but then the other stuff that we don't, you know, I don't want, to be honest, I don't think we need to hear everything, because I believe like staff has their specialty areas that they do their work. I want them to be able to do their work and just and do it. Now, there's always levels of accountability, but I think we need to make reasonable levels of accountability so that they can be efficient at what they're doing. And because, yeah, I mean, us making, you know, every purchasing decision that's not effective or efficient. And so I think getting some clarity as to what the policy is, what the checks and balances procedure is going to be, so that going forward, when the stuff comes up in a meeting, it's more streamlined, so that, you know, maybe here in this example, half of the stuff we wouldn't even need to, you know, half of the items don't need to come before us because there's a checks and balances procedure in place that we can see, you know, incrementally, so to speak.
It's kind of accountability with responsibility, and yeah. You and I and the rest of the council are responsible for the dollars being spent, I mean, I understand not needing all the cheat sheets on the material, the equipment you're buying, but we do need to pass a resolution approving the spending of that money, anything over $25,000. That was my understanding, and we can maybe discuss this further as a full council. But I think it's necessary, and that was my understanding, along with the rest of the committee here.
The only thing, two other things for you, Mr. Chair, the yellow. And that one spot in front of the library has been painted yellow, in case you have driven by or haven't driven by, although I've seen people park there anyway, but I guess to be fair, he was sitting in the vehicle while he was parked there, so, and it was in front of the hydrant. But so that yellow curve has been taken care of, and so we'll see, kind of see if you get any more comments on that. The other thing is, it came up just yesterday down on, and I'm doing this so I know which, I make sure I talk about the right street here. 19th and 22nd, we had a, I'm going to call it large at this point, water line break. And actually it ended up being about 4 water line breaks, because each time they would sleeve it, it would break again. And so it actually lifted the pavement, washed out some of the base, and so we've got some big issues there on about 150 foot of street. So we will be, we're still evaluating what to do, how to handle it, and how to get that redone. So just so you know, that's the issue that's going on down there, in case anybody asks.
How do we handle that, as far as, is that street anywhere near replacement?
No, it was overlaid 3 years ago. So it's part of the bad news.
Okay.
So it was new that we're gonna get to cut and, you know, haul more base material back in, class 5 back in, because it's all washed to somewhere. So it wasn't good.
Some of that go down the stormwater sewer?
I would imagine, because my understanding is it actually lifted the pavement, mm-hmm. and then as the water went away and we got shut down, now it's sunk. So where the base was, so it, I haven't seen it personally, but the guys have been there 3 or 4 times.
But the city, we are responsible for that.
Between us and MUC. Because of the water line.
Right, right.
And so city, yes, in general.
Okay.
Because it was the main.
Is it drivable now?
I mean, not in that first, I think the eastern 12 feet. And I like I said, I haven't been down there, mm-hmm. but my guess is they've got it barricaded off, so that, because they've got it dug up, they had to dig it up and put sleeves on it. They've tried to do a couple different repairs that haven't worked yet, so.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's enough for me.
Otherwise, we had a pretty good winter as far as the breaks, didn't
so
we?
Yeah. I did have one more thing. Sorry. Road restrictions are coming off Friday at midnight, so Thursday night.
This Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So considerably earlier than in the past.
Good, then we can start hauling.
Yeah.
Item number 5, unless somebody had questions. Director, Rick,
for the chief.
Sure.
No one will get a jaywalking ticket in front of the library. It's not an official crossing, is it, or is it not?
No, it's not an official crossing. To be honest, jaywalking, we haven't been enforcing the jaywalking in the downtown area. It's just, it'd be difficult to manage, to say the least. And a lot of people have the habits of already crossing mid-block. You know, something we can continue to monitor and check on any safety type things. But right now, with the removal of that parking space, it's still not an official crossing area. We still encourage everyone to go to the corners and to the actual crossbacks.
Fortunately, there's a stop sign at every corner, so yeah. You can't get a 30-mile speed from one corner to the next. But go ahead, Audrey.
Just curious if you think it solved anything there, because there still is one spot before.
There is.
Trot, and I didn't think there was, but
yep.
There is.
Well, it's...
So vision-wise, it hasn't done what we talked about. Or has it changed?
Mr. Chair, I think it has, actually, because the biggest issue, per the public's standpoint, was right at the door of the library. And if everybody, whichever angle they're using, heads towards the door, which is mid-block, I think it did open up that corridor right through there. And 1-2 would be three different access points, parking lot access points. So we'll see. I mean, obviously we could eliminate another one if we thought it was necessary, but the fact that the tree is at the southwest corner, and that's the only spot that's still at the southwest corner, I think we're okay, but we'll just monitor it and see what it looks like. And now that we all know about it, I think we can drive it. And I've driven it a couple times since it's been painted, and it did seem to open things up.
Especially if you're coming going west and you're going to take a right there.
Yep.
It does make it a lot more visual.
Right.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Now we'll go on to the park ground cover funding.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Next item on your agenda, I think I will turn over to Steve since he's in the audience. This is the, well, I'll let him do it, but this is the fall protection or the engineered fiber or whatever you call it.
Mr. Chair, members of the council, indeed, it's the cover material for the playgrounds that will be installed in May and in July. That product has started coming in at a previous council committee meeting. We discussed this issue and we had put it in for the expense to be in the $706,000 in the capital plan for this year, and they're directed to bring back where we would like to take those dollars from instead of the $706,000. Through Sean's purchasing last year, we had an item of Bobcat that came in under budget. That would be the amount available to purchase this cover material for the playground parks. And that is what we're bringing back to you today, what was requested of us at a previous meeting.
So you're recommending taking, using $31,000 or $18,655 of that?
Yeah, what was left over.
From the T-Force skid loader that came under budget. And instead of using the money from the $706,000. Questions, comments, committee? Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just at first glance looks good. I think because of the engineering cost, the soft cost that we took a look at, that would already be subtracted from the 706, I think we were down to like 650 to work with. So I feel like if we're subtracting further from there, we may end up with half a project at Rice Park, which is exactly what we don't want. I mean, if we're going to go ahead with a project there, we at least want to get whatever we do, we want to get that done correctly, and not be left with something on some portion of it undone. So if we can reallocate funds or do it this way, I think leave as many dollars towards that individual project as possible. That way we can kind of further our effectiveness with our money.
Go ahead, Audrey.
I think our motion to approve that before was to try to find it, so do we need to do anything, or are we good with what the motion was before?
we felt we just need to circle back. We thought it was a done deal. The motion was pretty specific to us, but we thought we should circle back with what we decided to do as staff.
Otherwise, I'd make a motion to approve it.
Well, and Mr. Chair, if I may, this probably would make the most sense in the Finance Committee, which was a meeting this week, and since it originally did with Public Works, we came here. So it might take a budget amendment, which may take a motion. I don't know how that works at, you know, at Finance. So it wouldn't hurt to have a motion to approve the transfer of funds, and then we can pass that along to Finance if...
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to transfer funds, $18,655 from the CIP unspent funds for the Bobcat T4 skid loader from 2014.
You want the next one, too?
Any questions or comments?
And then that could go to the council on Monday, probably?
Yeah, yeah. Sure could. I mean, I don't know why not.
Sure.
Seems pretty simple.
And this is maybe more for me, but it's under the $25,000.
But we're transferring funds.
Transferring funds, and so I assume it still has to come back?
Yep.
That's what we had discussed as staff, that made sense to us.
Yeah, again, we're jockeying funds, and...
Yep.
If you did it without council approval, and we found out 2 months later, we'd say, what are you guys doing?
Right, okay.
So I think it's appropriate to do this. It's, and it's not out of order, because we've had to do it before.
Sure.
My only question would be, do we know the total of unspent funds for the last 2 years? Do we have is it $150,000, is it $620,000? Do we have any idea? Somebody does.
Mr. Chair, Steve is finalizing those numbers, and they'll be available shortly.
Okay.
We're just starting the audit process.
Steve hasn't, Mr. Oakens.
I mean, you didn't...
Mr. Oakens, yeah, excuse me.
I know a few of them.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Go ahead, Rick.
So is this ground cover, is that going to cover all the parks then?
It's going to cover the 7 new playground units that we purchased.
Okay.
The ones that...
Six parks, 7 playground units is what we purchased last fall or early winter.
The ones that were taken out, but didn't have taken out already.
Yep.
Yeah. What, Aubrey?
I know this isn't the product, but I know there was something on the news somewhere in the cities. I think somebody is getting sued or something because the playground has ground up rubber tires. This is doing something totally different.
Yeah, this is a manufactured
one. Do we have ground up tires on any of our playgrounds? I guess not.
No.
Okay, thank you.
We have sand.
Right, say it'd be rock and the rest of them.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Everybody understand the motion and the second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion passes. Number 6, declare costs be assessed.
Mr. Chair, next item I'll also turn over to Steve, and this is deals with Robbins Island Regional Park status.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, a resolution is necessary for us to complete our application for regional designation through the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission. We did this resolution a year ago, but I think it behooves us to update it with the new application that is due April 29th. We are moving forward with that product. We spent a little over an hour today refining some of it and sent it off for people to review. Also spoke to Stuart Crosby, our rep from SRF. They have some experience doing this work. So he's calling us tomorrow to give, I sent it to him as well. He's gonna call us tomorrow and give us some tidbits of advice, hopefully, on how we can improve our application. I've also sent it to a communications teacher in the school system to make sure that we're getting some writing skills correctly. So we're doing our best to try to put forward a quality application using the resources that we've got available to us and taking into consideration some of the discussions we had with commission members and the association members that sponsor this activity. We believe we've done the right things. We believe the process is more complete this year. We've involved more people. I've also asked the previous park and rec director, Dale Johnson, to provide some input, as he probably knows the island as good as anybody. So we think in 2 weeks when this application's due, we're going to have a quality application, and hopeful that we're able to get that designation. We've got a number of letters of support from it, including our representative and senator. We've also sought out the representative to our east who sits on the legacy committee, and he has followed up that he will get a letter to us, that is Representative Verdahl. And most other professional organizations within our community that have something to do with this type of work are also writing letters of support. So this resolution of support would be much needed from the council as well.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution supporting the regional park designation.
Second.
For Robbins Island.
Robbins Island Park Complex.
Yep.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution supporting the regional park designation for Robbins Island Park Complex. It was attached here, and did you, it was a new on our agenda, I guess. Did you have it on yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, that motion passes.
Thanks.
Next, Steve.
And now we're down to the clearing cost to be assessed, if not mistaken.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next item on the agenda is project numbers 1601, 2, 3A, and 3B. And it's to declare the cost to be assessed, order the preparation assessment roll, and the assessment hearing, which would be May 16th for those four projects. You guys all know the background, so that per chapter 429 of the state statute.
Committee?
It's for a public hearing.
I'm sorry, it's for, the recommendation would be for all three, so.
And call for assessment.
Yeah, declare the cost to be assessed, or the preparation of the assessment roll, and call for the assessment hearing. So all three items.
We have a motion and a second to approve staff's recommendation, which is declare cost to be assessed, comma, order preparation assessment roll, comma, and call for the assessment hearing on May 16th of this year for project 1601, 1602, 03A, and 03B. Any further comments or questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion passes. Seven.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the loan project that was bid on the same day, April 5th. That's the right date? Yeah, April 5th. That does not need bonding, or was not planned for bonding, and so it does not need the assessment rolls, or any of that. So this one is to accept the bid and award the contract to Dunnick Inc. in the amount of $34,787 for project 1604.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve staff's recommendation. Let's see. Just lot repair adjacent to 1801 Technology Drive. Two bids. Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
Any further details about the percentage disparity above the engineer's estimate?
I don't care what the engineer's estimate was. 33% above it.
I mean, I'm not concerned, but anytime I'm 30% off at work,
yep.
I go, what did I do?
Exactly.
What happened?
The reality is we shoot for 10%, and sometimes, you know, shoot for 10, hope for 20 sometimes.
Yep.
And this one here, there's enough unknowns in this particular project.
Okay.
Because, you know, the bituminous is lifting, would appear like a pipe is raising underneath it, but there's no pipes in the area, so.
Sure.
That we know of.
Correct. And, you know, with the uncertainty of what a small amount of bituminous price would do to us, you know, I can only give excuses at this point, but.
So they're pricing unknown variables, basically.
They're pricing unknown variables. They're pricing a very small amount of bituminous. We're putting a cross gutter in there, and it's a, you know, how mobilization works on a small
project.
You know, it's tough. So I guess the short answer would be I don't have a whole lot of other reason why that the disparaging numbers there. I can tell you on the other projects that we were well under the bids. So we were over the bids, so our estimate was. So
everything you said makes sense. So
okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
So when they dig that up, they, do you go out and take pictures of it too? And
oh,
see
yeah.
What,
going on.
Yep, we'll be pictures and we'll do some surveying while they're doing it, and then there'll be as-built of what we do when we're done with it, and it'll look nice.
I'd be interested in see what's causing it.
I am too.
Something wet or something.
Exactly, I am too.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. We do, right? Got carried away. Okay, any further comments or questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion passes.
Okay, Mr. Chair, next item is project 1502, so one of last year's projects, we're wrapping those up. This would be to approve change order number one in the amount of $1,800, and accept project and authorize final payment to Land Pride Construction in the amount of $6,168, and my number's just, my tablet just went away, whatever the cents says.
42.
42 cents, sorry about that. $6,168.42.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve staff's recommendation of approving change order number one in the amount of $1,800 and final payment of $6,168.42 for 1502. Further comments or questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. And that brings us to the bottom of the agenda. Is there any old business to come before the committee? Mm-hmm. Any new business to come before the committee? Did you have something, Rick?
Yeah. The mayor told me last night that the school cut the crossing guards on 7th Street by, is it Roosevelt?
Kennedy.
On 7th, it'd be Kennedy.
That's Kennedy.
Kennedy,
okay.
Yeah.
Kennedy next year. Either
because of
amongst other cuts.
Yeah, because they're, it either cut that or a three-quarter part teacher. I think that could create some
danger.
Danger for a little kids, so we're going to have to watch that.
Yeah, and I'll monitor. Of course, not being involved in the school board meetings, I'd heard grumblings of the same thing, so I don't know how that's going to end up.
Yeah.
I believe there are over 25 positions being eliminated for next year.
For good and not reconsidered? Usually they
no, it's all of them.
They can't officially say that they're going to reconsider them.
There's Homer Avenue
right.
And...
Oh, is that... Because my wife works at...
Candy Ohio.
So we were attending the meetings, but yeah, I think 28 positions.
And then
she's
Northwest?
She is one of them.
Okay. Well, I don't know if we have any say over it or...
At this point, Mr. Chair, I don't think we do. We'll have to wait and see how this all plays out. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Are those all paid positions?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know they were.
I used to think there were some that were volunteer positions.
Well, that would obviously be an option if they are paid and they're going to make it volunteer.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
You could do that early in the morning.
I could, yeah.
I'm sure you have
time. I don't have anything else going on, so why not?
You know, why doesn't the council switch off?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, I remember when I was growing up, we had sixth graders.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
now they went with
they're helping the little kids and now the adults.
They're changing that for the better.
Is that the only school they do cross by?
They do at Roosevelt, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm sure they do at Roosevelt, cross 19.
Speaking of Roosevelt, somebody mentioned that they were happy that you patched the hole over in the street over there.
Oh, good.
Going into the entrance. Somebody called me and said, you know, what happened?
Good.
Somebody actually fixed that.
Fixed it.
That was good. I don't know if you're all aware that Wes Hopp resigned.
He did?
No.
What?
I hadn't heard that either.
Yeah. Retiring early and leaving the state.
Leaving the state, you said?
Yeah, going to Washington State. It happened yesterday. I let the board know yesterday, the commission.
Oh, wow.
Actually, yeah. So we'll be looking for another director. And then I had one other gal called me and said, why are we spending all this money on the park when we have all these other infrastructure needs? You know, $700,000 of city funds. It could go toward the refrigeration unit or the community center. And I thought it was a good question. You know, we we have not set out and listed priorities of what needs to be done. We know we have these infrastructure needs. And she actually said, I think you should put a halt to it. And I said, well, I'll mention it at the Public Works Committee meeting today, and I think it might be wise to talk about it at the council meeting. I mean, we do not have a list of priorities, and we're spending this money proposing a new tax, and the new taxes don't grow communities. So I mentioned it, and I think it's something to talk about. We keep spending and then letting the infrastructure go, and then we want to fix it with lost funds. And typically, she mentioned that when you have capital improvements, you run it through the capital improvement program, and then you set the money aside and then fund it that way. Anyway, instead of bringing it up, I brought it up. Any other businesses come before the council? The council? This committee? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So long.
To approve.
The park did go through the CIP. It is part of the CIP.
Yeah.
I'm confused with what you said then, what you meant.
Well, funding the